This is Dateline Washington on the Radio America Network. I'm Greg Corumbus. Thanks for being with us. My next guest in this edition is Dr. Waleed Faris, Senior Fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. He's also a former professor of Middle East Studies and a terrorism expert. Today we want to get his thoughts on the situation politically in Israel as Benjamin Netanyahu, the former prime minister, is given the first opportunity to form a coalition government and become prime minister once again. So what will this mean for the Middle East peace process? And Dr. Faris, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, the first thing, of course, that Benjamin Netanyahu has to do is form this coalition. How do you expect him to go about doing it? Will he go after the more right-wing parties that are even further to the right than Likud, or do you expect him to try and draw back towards the middle?
Well, he would certainly like to have Kadima and therefore ensure a very large number in the Knesset. He will certainly want to also have the nationalists of Mr. Lieberman on his right. He wouldn't want probably the ultra-Orthodox religious because that would get Kadima and the other centrist forces to go away. We will see over the next few days what will be the shape. His choices are limited, either a strong, wider, Likud-led, but Kadima-included party, or he will have to have a minority government, meaning just the majority seats, but not strong enough to challenge any of the opposition movements. We will see in the next few days or weeks.
As he puts this government together, of course, Israel faces a number of national security challenges. You, of course, have Hamas in control in Gaza, duly elected as the majority in the parliament, but, of course, they evicted Fatah a couple of years ago. To the north, you have Hezbollah still operating out of southern Lebanon, and, of course, you have the Iranian nuclear threat. So if you're Netanyahu, how do you prioritize?
Well, Netanyahu already made statements that announced what his agenda is going to be. He put the Iranian threat as number one. And I would think that any prime minister of Israel would do so. Probably the narrative of Bibi Netanyahu is going to be stronger for political reasons, and this is his style. Second, he has already spoken about not just the Iranian central threat, but the long arms of the Iranian regime. He mentioned the threat coming from the north, he means by that Hezbollah, and the threat coming from the south, and of course he means by that Hamas. So what should we expect from a Netanyahu government is a different strategic approach to deal with Hezbollah and Hamas at the same time, as he observed the development of the nuclear program of Iran.
What do you think is the best way to confront the threats posed by the terrorist organizations of Hamas and Hezbollah?
Well, look, on the one hand, Hamas has basically lost the strategic linkage, if you wish, with Iran, because Egypt now belongs to moderate Arab camp, is not going to allow weapons to go, if it can, through the borders. What seems to be the Israel challenge now is control of the international waters. The Europeans and the Obama administration will try to convince the Netanyahu government, if it's formed, to let this happen under international aegis. If not, then the Israelis themselves will continue to try to isolate. With Hezbollah, it's a different story. Hezbollah in Lebanon has now proved that it has a strategic connection with Iran through the Lebanese-Syrian borders, and that's a different ballgame. Hezbollah, which had 10,000 missiles before 06, before the war of 06, per the statements of its Secretary General, says it has 35,000 missiles that can reach way south of Haifa.
Dr. Faris, we've talked about what the approach will likely be from Israel. How do the terrorist organizations, how does the Iranian regime now react to the fact that a more conservative government and certainly a more conservative prime minister will be in place in Israel very soon?
It is ironic. At some point, it may be even irrational to Western opinion to realize that the Iranian regime may use the strong positions of Netanyahu to try to get away from the U.S. approach into dialogue. I mean, this may be what Ahmadinejad and Khamenei wanted to see happening. They're going to say, well, as long as Netanyahu is in power, we're not interested in a dialogue. So what we may see in the next coming months, and probably up to 2 years, is a very challenging time for the Obama administration, which would have wanted to see a more centrist government in Israel that would basically not stir the anger of the Iranians. But of course, the majority of Israelis realize that the U.S. now, under the Obama administration, going to negotiations is not going to be tough enough on the Iranians. So it's a triangular equation right now.
The peace process has essentially been at a standstill since Hamas took over in Gaza. Do you expect that to persist with Netanyahu, especially since he is not at all an advocate of a land for peace arrangement?
Well, that's true on the ideological level, but he understands that there are minimal requirements by the United States, the principles, not the sole real strategic ally of Israel, meaning any Likud-led government will accept eventually a two-state solution. There will be a lot of details as to which part the Israelis should, which settlement they should dismantle. But the region is way beyond that. What is happening now is that a Hamas control over Gaza, with or without the Likud, is not going to accept to sit down and recognize the state of Israel. So we're back to square one, although Mahmoud Abbas, ironically, may be the one to be able to offer Israel, even under Netanyahu, to settle issues.
The last 15 seconds here, Dr. Ferris, how active do you encourage the Obama administration to be in fostering the peace process?
Well, they should always talk about the peace process, send envoys, show goodwill, pragmatically. In reality, I don't think they're going to be able to do much more than what the Bush or even the Clinton administration were able to do. Besides, we do have the economic meltdown on our shoulders, and more importantly, we have to make sure that everything goes smoothly in Iraq as of July, and that's not easy, and Iran can do a lot of harm. And above all of that, we're sending approximately two divisions to Afghanistan, so we're going to have a lot of attention there.
Dr. Ferris, unfortunately, that'll have to be the last word. Thanks for your time.
Well, thank you.
Dr. Waleed Ferris of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, this is Dateline Washington.